I have the privilege to introduce our next speaker. Ronnie and Lori McCurry are from West Union, South Carolina. They've been married 27 years, and Lori has conceded to allow Ronnie to actually speak. I'm not sure why, other than she's very healthy. And that's why they've been married for 27 years. They have two children, Stephanie, 24, and Drew, 22, and one and a half grandchildren. So I'm assuming that there's one in the hopper, and a 26-month-old and one on the way. He is a project engineer for TTI by trade, a volunteer firefighter by choice. Most of all, he says he's a chosen son of God. Now, this is his introduction. Okay, because I told him if he didn't write me something, I'd ad lib.
Which he's probably going to do anyway.
So, do you want my version?
Go ahead.
My friend, Ronnie McCurry.
Thank you, my friend Forrest Cottrell. Did everybody hear me okay? My voice tends to boom a little better than some and not as good as others. I was telling Jim a while ago I have a new addition to my studies. So I'm not, believe me, I fought it long and hard, didn't I, baby? So y'all pray for me this morning that I will be able to see. And like I say, I did fight these for a while. So I don't wear them to be pretty, and that's pretty obvious because I'm not going to be pretty. So we'll go ahead and get started. It is a pleasure, as always, for us to be here. We didn't know if we were going to make it this year or not, but through the will of God and through the grace of God, we did. And we're thankful for that. I want to welcome everybody here this morning. And I want to thank you for having me here. I can't believe you'd bring me all the way out here to hear me, but hopefully the Lord works in mysterious ways. And I'll have something that I can bring you maybe that you can think about. We got a lot to go over, so I'm going to go through these announcements rather quickly. I want to especially thank Barney and Kelly for all that they have done. Barney's picked us up, hauled us around, picked Chip up, took care of him when I couldn't make it all the way from Vegas. I got Chip back to the airport last night. We couldn't have done it without you, so I want to thank y'all for that right up front. I also want to give you greetings from the Carolina Bible Group, and there are four of us here today. And we're thankful for that. We're glad to have Artis and Lydia with us from our group. And the rest of our group also send their love. And they send their prayers. And they send their thoughts along to you folks, too. We pray for you guys every time we pray at home. And we hope you do the same for us. Because that's where the power is. The power's in the prayer. We're supposed to love and uplift one another and hold each other up to the Lord in prayer. And we always do that for you. Thank you. Wanted to also announce this year that the website is coming along fairly nicely. With Chip's help, a lot of you met Chip here last night. Chip's helping, helping me put a website together where we can hopefully get some downloads, and some other information about conferences, some information about what we believe and all on the internet, for various people to be able to download and look at. If you want to copy this down, I thought we had a crayon here. I may have lost it.
They're underneath there.
Oh, I see it. I got it.
And if you want to check it out, it's www.carolinabiblegroup.org. For organization. So if you want to copy that down and slide over and check it out. I've also got a blog on there. And in case I was a senior, I didn't even know what a blog was when Chip brought it up. And I said, yeah, sure. If you think it's good, I'm in. So he did, and we've got a link on this site to the blog on there where Artis and Chip and I post some articles that we write up, things that strike us that we think need to be on there that somebody else may can get a blessing from or a little bit of knowledge out of. We post it on there. So cruise over there and check it out sometime. Read it. It might be a blessing to you. Got any comments on those posts? Put them all on Artis's post. Because he's got the good ones. I can't wait till he does it. I always like to go in and read Artis's post. So check those out. I will be copying the study today. I apologize for not getting here in time to copy it last night. I missed the first two. We were running behind yesterday and trying to scurry around. But for the remainder of it, I will be recording it. I'll try to have it on DVD. Anybody wants a copy of it or the MP3s, just hit me up and let me know. Or hopefully by that time we'll have it if you have a high-speed internet where you can download the MP3s off the internet. So you can go and download this conference off of this site. So pray for us as we try to keep all this going and get it all together. We have announcements. We do, as he said, we do have another grandchild on the way, and I appreciate it if all of you would remember that situation. We got, as if Carly wasn't enough, now we got another one on the way. And I'm really kind of getting into this grandpa thing. This is all right. I had no idea how different it would be. If you, if you're not there yet, you'll like it when you get there. It's pretty neat. I believe that's all I have as far as announcements go. So let's get started in the Word. And I'd ask if you would, to bow with us. Artis, would you open with prayer for us, please?
Heavenly Father, in the darling name of Christ Jesus, the Lord, come before the throne of grace. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for that place in which you placed us, in Christ, even in heavenly places. Thank you that we might make you known. Thank you for choosing us. We ask today that you will guide our hearts, our minds, and our tongues. Let the meditations of our hearts and the words from our mouth be acceptable unto thee, that they may edify this body. And we thank you so much for this day, be with the Spirit. Let your word, you take over, Lord, and let the Spirit use it to speak for your glory. In Christ Jesus' name we ask with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. If I got around to hug your neck yet, it's just because I haven't had time. I'll get around to it, I promise. If I don't, thump me on the back of the neck or whatever you feel like you need to do to get my attention, but scurrying around trying to get it all done. All right, what I want to bring you this time, and Mike said that, well, good luck. You know, you might all take a bulletproof vest when you go out there and try to tell them this. And I said, no, Mike, you don't know these. You don't know those people because you think you do. So I said that for his advantage there on the tape, so, or for his edification, so that he'll actually see that I brought him up for mention there. But I want to talk to you this weekend a little bit about Israel, because I feel like you guys are, in all the groups that study around, you tend to do like we do and go other places other than just the books of the mystery and try to discern some of the other things of Scripture. And one of the things that we've seen as we go through and that I've seen in particular is that the understanding of the nation of Israel is almost paramount in understanding where we are today. Because if you think about it, before there was us in the picture, there was them in the picture. And I joked with Artis earlier, I said, or somebody I was talking to, I said, well, you know, Forrest basically, he sort of did my study last night. I got here late, but from what I saw, he pretty much had my study, maybe not to the level of detail, but he had a lot of the points. So, got a lot to cover. But what I want to do is instead of having three individual studies, I'm going to go through with the three that I've got. I got two today and one tomorrow. I'm going to go through with those three and try to make one big study out of it. So if you take and you put them all together, you'll have the one contiguous study that covers the whole thing. And a lot of it's history. A lot of it's history that I'm sure you guys already know and have probably already been over. What I want to do is put it together in a form that maybe you haven't seen before, haven't thought about before, and make my conclusion at the end so that you'll kind of understand where we was. And when you walk away, at least you'll have some idea, well, I know what that crazy guy from South Carolina believes about Israel and where they were and where they are today. So as we go through this, pray for me. And as I always say to everybody, that my prayer is consider what I say. And let the Lord give you the understanding in all things. Because as it was so clearly pointed out last night, if you're going to understand anything, you're going to understand it through the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to understand it by me beating it into your head or by me spoon feeding it to you. Because if you do that, then my belief becomes your belief. And I don't want my belief to become your belief because you just take what I say as face value. That's not what it's all about. I tell them at our group all the time, if you're going to do that, we may as well load up and go to the church down the road. Because we're no better than they are. What I want you to do is take what I say and really study it out and check me out. If you don't agree, bless your heart. Get in touch with me. We'll discuss it. Love to do that. That's the way we've always done it within our group. So, without any more groundwork, turn with me, if you would, to Genesis. Now, to start out with the nation of Israel, we can go a long way back. But where I'm going to start today, as soon as I get my eyes on, and somebody, you watching the time for me?
Well, yeah, we have a big bell.
You got that? Well, Mike has a big hook up at his place, and then, you know, they pull you off the stage like they did.
And schedule says 10:30, but if you need a little bit more.
Okay, I should be able to get it in there, but we're going to move pretty fast, so I hope you got, everybody did your finger exercises for your Bible today. I hope you got a nimble finger. So turn with me, if you would, to begin with, creation of man and woman in Genesis 1. Now, as I said, I believe, and I even wrote this note down so that I wouldn't forget it for myself. I wrote, one of the greatest barriers to understanding the hope of the church today is all the misunderstandings about Israel. And again, I want to tell Forrest that what a good job he did on what I saw last night and what a blessing I got out of it, because it's right down along. It's funny how God does these things. And, you know, they never put a stipulation on what we're going to speak on here. You know, they don't have a theme as others do, and I like both ways. But it's funny sometimes, or it's not funny. We should say, well, God did it. And it always never ceases to amaze me how God takes and ties things together with his thing in those particular cases. So I won't tell you how much I got out of yours last night. But turn with me, if you would, Genesis 1, 26 through 28. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now everybody has, we've been here, right? We know this basic history, but you got to remember, before we get Israel, we got to have mankind. And you got to remember that what we're reading right here is not a created creation as much as it is a restoration. And in the middle of this restored creation, God creates this man and this woman, and he puts them into creation. And he tells them to be fruitful and to multiply and to populate. Okay? Turn with me over to Genesis 2:7. It should be on the opposite page there. And I couldn't really go by this one because I really love this one. And in Genesis 2:7 it says, over here you have the summary, over here you get the specific. It says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And everybody knows the story then of how he put him to sleep, and he took the rib, and from the rib he fashioned Eve. I mean, we all know that. We all know that account. I'm not going to call it a story. It's actually only an account of what took place. But the reason I used 1:26 through 28 is because it's pretty much the synopsis of what happened. It's the summary of it all. So let's keep moving, because I got a lot of scriptures to get in here. Of course, it's not long into this restored creation that we have the entrance of sin and enmity in the universe. And we all know that the fallen one was there even at the beginning. You know, you're going through scripture, and all of a sudden, you can read where God created all these things up until you get to chapter 3. And you hear about this the serpent that was more subtle than any beast of the field that God had created. And, you know, a lot of people never stop. Where did he come from? How did he get in the picture? And it comes from the primeval creation between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, or everything before Genesis 1:1. But in any event, he shows up here in Genesis. I'm going to read Genesis 3:1-5. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said," that's his thing. That's what he always does. It's what he always will do, is question the word of God.
Yes.
He said, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman," first recorded lie in the scripture, didn't it? "Oh, you're not going to die. You won't surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Now I'm going to read 8-15, sort of the supplement of that. "They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden of the cool of the day." Everybody knows the story that they went ahead and did it. What it is, we'll hold for another study. "They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Now immediately God knows, God knew anyway, but God knows we have a problem here. And he said, "Who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" Now he knew, didn't he?
Yes.
He knew they did. Yeah. He wanted to hear him say it. And the man said, same thing I would probably say, because I too am in flesh. That woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave the tree and I did eat. She did it. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. And upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And now here's the verse I want you to see. In the midst of this created mankind, now we're having some sentences placed. And he says, "I will put enmity," or hatred, "between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Now, what we have here is the need for the redemption of this mankind that he's created. Up until this point, all was fine. When we get here, we get the entrance of sin and we get the fall. You know, you've heard it said, the fall of man. And it literally is. But what I want you to notice is that along with the fall, we immediately hear from God, have the promise of what?
Restoration.
We got a promise of a crushed head, don't we?
Oh, yes.
So we know that somewhere along the line here of mankind, that God is going to have a man to take care of mankind, don't we? Everybody see that? In Genesis 3? The promise of redemption in Genesis 3:15? I believe it required a man to do it, and God is going to send a man to take care of it. Turn with me on over to the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis. Now, as we go through the rest of the study, what I want you to bear in mind, keep in mind, is what we just read, because it's going to be pivotal as we go through the whole thing. What I want you to see is, as we go through, how God narrows the field of mankind down to one man. It's amazing when you see it. And that's part of what I want you to see as we go through the study. Where did I say go? Genesis 12?
Right.
Everybody turn with me to Genesis 12. Abram is called out and he's given promises in Genesis 12. Read with me. 12:1. I'm going to read 12:1-4. Now the Lord God had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. We're beginning to see the plan come together here, aren't we, a little bit. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And this one man. Pretty incredible, isn't it? It's incredible to me the amount of responsibility that God put on Abram at that point. Because that's another one of those things, as I look through the scripture, I think, man, just trust me. And that's a pretty big responsibility he gave. But anyway, what we have here is two things. You got the promise of a land. You got the promise of what else?
Seed.
A nation. If you're going to have land, you're going to have a nation. Okay? Turn with me over to Genesis 15. And like I say, a lot of this is history for you, I'm sure, and I'm laying groundwork to get to where I want to go, so bear with me. Genesis 15, I'm going to read 1-6. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward.
Yes.
And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in mine house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and he said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord.
Yes.
And he counted it him for righteousness. And that's the story of Abraham.
Yes.
He believed God, and that belief was counted to him for righteousness. He trusted God's word. Now, turn with me on over to, I got to move quickly through here. The seed is promised through another here too. What I want to show you as we follow through, I want you to see how the seed is passed and how it progresses as we go along. So turn with me over to Genesis 21, if you would, for just a minute. I'm going to start at verse 9 and read through 12. So everybody knows the story of Abraham and Ishmael, how they gave Hagar over to Abraham, and Ishmael was born pretty much out of the will of the flesh instead of the will of God, trying to help God along. So in verse 9 it says, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had born unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of the bondwoman. And all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So we see now we've got a trail to follow, don't we? We go from Abraham, we can go to Isaac. And in Isaac we know now that the seed is going to be called. Turn with me over to chapter 25. Start at verse 8, read through 11. Then Abraham, it says, gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite, which is before Mamre, the field which Abraham purchased to the sons of Heth. There was Abraham buried, and Sarah, his wife. Okay, and I want to move on now. Let's go on over to the birth of Esau and Jacob, Genesis 25. I'm going to start at verse 22 and read this. Genesis 25, 22. And the children struggled together within her. And you realize I'm just hitting the high spots, right? This is to try to draw a trail together. 25:22. The children struggled together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel. And now this is significant to the rest of their lives. And his name was called Jacob, and Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And we'll stop there with that one now. Going over to where God blesses Isaac in Genesis 26. It should be just on the following page there. Genesis 26, and I'm going to read 1 through 5. And I hope you're able to sort of keep up with my madness here as we go along. It says in 26, 1 through 5, and there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries and will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Where have you heard that? Talk about an inheritance, something to pass on down. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Now, do we have a law yet in the nation of Israel? We don't, do we? We don't have a Moses. I mean, you know, what we typically think about the law is when God gave Moses the law, right? Did I read that right? What was it Abraham did? He kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, in my laws. So I have to believe that God had shown Abraham some special things that he expected from him. And there's an excellent note. I'm not going to take the time to read it, but read the note on that verse in the companion text in the companion Bible. It's very fascinating. I thought that was amazing when I saw that verse. And I like doing these studies because every time I do them, I see something I hadn't seen before. Yeah, I love doing it for y'all. I'm pretty selfish about that. I do it for myself a lot, too. I always find something new that I didn't see before, and that's one of the tidbits I found in this one. So let's keep going. We know it doesn't stop here. That one was where he was talking to Isaac. So let's move on over to Jacob. Now, I want to get into Jacob's 12 sons a little bit. So let's go over to Genesis 29. I think it's important that we establish this and establish that this nation of Israel was real people. That, you know, it's not something spiritual floating around. These were real people who really lived, who had real lineage, and it's traceable in the Scripture. So go over to Genesis 29. I'm going to read pretty much 21 through 29. I really do have to hurry, too. Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled that I may go in under her. You remember Jacob went to his, I believe it was his uncle, to take a wife out of his own family. Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled that I may go in under her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast, and it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter, which was not the one he was bargaining for, and brought her to him. And he went in unto her, and Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid, for a handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? He said, you gave me the wrong daughter. Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? Why have you done this? And Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. He tricked him. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet another 7 years. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel his daughter to wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel his daughter Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. So we have Leah, and we have Rachel, and we have the handmaid Zilpah, and then we have the handmaid Bilhah. There's four. Okay. The birth of 11 of the sons is recorded in Genesis 29, 32 through 30. Through 30, 24. So let's turn to Genesis 29 here. I think we may have been there. Start with me at, let's read 29, 32, I'm sorry. Yeah, because you see where he names Reuben there. I'm sorry, I couldn't read them all right. Through, and if you look from 29:32 down to chapter 30, verse 24, that will cover 11 of the sons. And I'm not going to take the time to read them, but everybody knows there were Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and who was the last one? Benjamin. It was the youngest. I'm not going to take the time to go through and read all and what their names mean, because I'm going to leave that for you to do. But the last son, the birth of the last son, Benjamin, is recorded in Genesis 35, verses 17 through 18, if you want to pop over there. And I got them underlined in my Bible, so I know where they are. I love to, you can tell I pretty much mark mine up pretty bad anyway. But I love to try to mark things to where I can remember them. So if you want to know where Benjamin is, he's in 35, 17, and 18. Okay? So let's keep moving. These sons of Jacob basically are going to comprise what's going to be known as the beginning of the nation of Israel. Now everybody knows that as we go through, things happen. It's like we were talking about last night. As circumstances change, as things happen with God, God sometimes changes his way of dealing with mankind. And it's no different in this situation. So turn with me to Genesis 35 for just a minute. And I want to read read, just as a sort of a review on the sons of Jacob, it arranges it very nicely here in 22 through 26 of Genesis 35. And it came to pass when Israel dwelt in that land that Reuben went... Wait a minute, I'm sure if I'm in the right place here. 22 through 26, I'm sorry. Yep. Came to pass when Israel dwelt in that land that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his mother's concubine, and Israel heard it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12, and they list them here. The sons of Leah were Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and Simeon, and Levi, and Judah, and Issachar, and Zebulun. The sons of Rachel were Joseph and Benjamin. The sons of Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, were Dan and Naphtali. And the sons of Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, were Gad and Asher. And it says, these are the sons of Jacob, which were born unto him in Paddan Aram. Okay? There's no spiritual Israel here, is there? These look like people to me. I mean, they have names, they have heritage, they have lineage, they have hopes and dreams just like you and I do. They're just people. Turn with me to Genesis 28 for just a minute. Like I say, we're actually kind of going backwards now to keep the continuity of the account going here. We're going to look at Jacob's blessing now from Isaac. Remember, we left off with the blessing being passed from Abraham to Isaac. Now we've got to get it to Jacob, right? So read with me here in Genesis 28. I'm going to read 1 through 5. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him, and he charged him, and he said unto him, you remember how he got the blessing? Everybody remember the story how he dressed up like his brother?
Right.
Isn't how God works amazing? I wanted to throw that in here too, but I'm like, there's no way I can cram all this in there in 30 minutes. But anyway, it says, and Isaac called Jacob, and he blessed him, and he charged him, and he said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Yeah, that's a little discrimination there, I would say, wouldn't you? Arise and go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence, the daughters of Laban, for thy mother's brother. That's what I was talking about a while ago. That's where the 12 sons came from. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee that thou mayest be a multitude of people. And give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Paddan Aram unto Laban, the son of Bethuel the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob and Esau's mother. And let's read 10 through 16 as well. It says the same chapter, 28, Genesis 28. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took up the stones of that place and he put them for his pillows, and he lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Where have you heard this? Be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. We seem to see this played over and over again as it gets passed down through the lineage from one to the next. Now, Jacob gets a little name change. Turn with me over to Genesis 32, and I'm getting real close to being out of time. So turn over with me to Genesis 32. I'm probably not going to make it. I'm going to read 24 through 28. Of Genesis 32. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, the angel said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And there again, if you, I'm not going to take the time to do it, but if you'll just look in the notes on 28, where it said, Israel, God commands, orders, or rules. That's what his name meant. Name was changed from Jacob the contender over to Israel. Now, turn with me, if you would, right quickly to Genesis 49. I got to finish up here with the prophecy of the sons. Right before he dies, Jacob calls all of his sons together. I'll try to read 1 through 28. Now, let's see. Let's just read 8 through 10 concerning Judah. What he does is Jacob sees what's coming with these sons. And that's no accident because God's helping him. And out of all these sons, and he tells what they're going to do and basically how things are going to be for them down through the rest of history. I want you to look at verses 8 through 10 concerning Judah. Look at what he says about Judah. Judah, thou art he, verse 8. Thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion. And as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet till Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. There is none of the other sons who have the same prophecy here that Judah has. Well, I want you to see here is that now we've narrowed the field again. We went from mankind to a people, and now we went to the nation of Israel. And now within the nation of Israel, we've narrowed it to a tribe. Tribe of Judah, through which the promised Redeemer will come. For you to write down, because I'm out of time, the captivity, everybody is familiar with the captivity in Exodus. Let's turn over to Exodus chapter 1 for just a second. Write down Exodus 1, 1 through 11, if you want to read it, check it out. Everybody knows the story. They all leave, go to Egypt. And basically, through the dealings with Joseph, after that passes off the scene, there comes a king who is not so crazy about Israel as those who were in charge when Joseph was there. And so they enslave Israel, the nation of Israel. I do have to read this, though. Turn with me to Exodus 3. I can't skip this. God raises up Moses out of the children of Israel. Exodus 3. I'm going to read 11 through 15. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go up unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come to the children of Israel, and I shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, well, what's his name? Then I shall say unto them, or what shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Amen. Yeah. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover to Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. Narrowed it down. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. And I'm going to stop right there. No reason with a particular study that I can't just pick up right here with the next one. So that's what we'll do. We'll stop right here and pick up with the next one. Y'all bow with me, we'll take a quick break. Let me close with prayer. Father, we thank you for your word, most of all. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, what he's done for us that we could not do for ourselves. We thank you for the blessings that we've already felt here. Father, for these people in this place, ask that you would bless them today. And may the things that are said and done be said and done for the uplifting and the glorification of Jesus Christ, and that we may grow in the grace and knowledge of him. For it's in his name today that we do pray. And thank you much.